Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Beginning in verse 7, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, I want to take a moment like I do every week to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name, and I don't want that to just become a routine or a tradition here. I want you to understand that we are gathered in this place today to lift up the name that is highly exalted above every other name. And if it weren't for Jesus, we would have no hope. If it weren't for Jesus, we would be lost eternally. If it were not for him and his blood on the cross, we would be wrecked in our sins and chains. Glory to the Lamb of God. Anybody thankful for Jesus this morning, what he's done for you? He saved you, forgiven you, transformed your life. He is deserving of all of our praise. And this church will not be built on a personality. It won't be built on a cool worship service. It will be built upon the foundation that is our chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the King of glory. That deserved an amen. I very rarely will I tell you to amen. I hate it when preachers do that, but that y'all should amen that. All right. Anytime I say Jesus, just get excited. All right. I want to tell you a story this morning before we read from the Gospel of Luke. How many of you are good golfers? Anybody a good golfer in the house? All right. We got like three people that are brave enough to admit that they're good golfers. All right. Well, just FYI, I'm a terrible golfer. I pride myself on being athletic, but I kind of am not sure if golf fits the category of a sport yet because I'm horrible at it. So I make excuses to make myself feel better. Anyway, I do not keep my golf score the way that most people keep their golf score. You know, I got a par on that one. I got a three, a one under, a bogey, an eagle, whatever it is. I don't know what those words mean because I just shoot a lot. So I just keep my golf score based on how many golf balls I lost that day. And if it's in the single digits, then we're doing good. You know, if I lost 9 or 8 in the single digits, I played a heck of a round. That means I only lost one every other hole. So anyway, I'm terrible. But one summer, I was still in high school. We went golfing in Fripp Island, South Carolina. And I was there with my stepdad. And, you know, he's not much of a golfer either, but a little better than me. It doesn't take much. And we're getting ready to tee off. And any golfer knows that you don't want the hole with all the water. That's just not where you're wanting to go, especially if you're trying to lose in the single digits of balls. And so we're teeing off, and there's all of this water. It's a par 3. The green is well within sight. And just along the shore near the green, there are all of these really tall weeds, all of these really thick weeds all lining the shore. And I tee off first, and I smack it. And guess what happens? It goes directly into the water. No surprise there. But then my stepdad, he comes up. And he's determined. He's going to make it across. And so he swings and he makes excellent contact with that ball. I'm telling you, he smashed it. And it just flew like a line drive right over that water and right into the middle of those weeds it landed. And it went, right as it got into the weeds, we heard a thud, boom, like it hit something in the weeds. And I look at him and he looks at me and we're like, what in the world did that ball just hit? And then the weeds just start wrestling. They start moving, shaking around a little bit. We're looking at each other like, oh my gosh. And out limps a deer. He had hit a deer with the golf ball. It was hiding in the weeds. I mean, look, we're from West Virginia, y'all. They hunt them with guns and everything. We hunt them with golf balls. We knocked it out. But I'm not kidding you. That deer came limping out of the weeds like it was hurt. I felt bad. He felt bad. And we just kind of laughed it off. And that leads me perfectly into the title of this morning's message, which is called Stay Out of the Weeds. Look at your neighbor and tell them, stay out of the weeds. I know it's a real cerebral title to the sermon this morning. I know it's real deep and theologically profound. Stay out of the weeds. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 7. These are the words of Jesus as he teaches the parable of the sower. Other seed fell among the thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blades. Still the other seed fell on the fertile soil, and this seed grew and produced a crop 100 times as much as had been planted. And then, when he had said this, he called out, "Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand." That's all I want to read from Luke 8. Now, just to set the background just a little bit clearer, Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. And he teaches that there are four types of soil. What he's really teaching is that the field is the church of Jesus Christ. The soil is the hearts of mankind. And the seed that is sown into the soil is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Jesus goes on to elaborate, and he teaches that there's four types of soil. The first type of soil has a hard path on it. And when the seed, the Word of God, is sown onto it, it's hardened, and it never penetrates the surface of the dirt, and the birds come and steal it away, never producing fruit. Then the second type of soil is the soil that is shallow. The seed is scattered upon it. It starts to germinate and take root, but the roots can't grow very deep because the soil is shallow. So the tender blades, when they spring up, they're scorched by the sun and they wither away and die. And then the third type of soil, the one I'm going to talk to you about this morning, is the soil that when the seed was sown on it, it appeared to be good. It appeared to germinate and even bring forth life. But no sooner did the seed begin to produce a sprout out of there, whatever it is, the weeds grew even faster and choked it to death before it ever had a chance to live. And then, of course, the fourth soil is the good soil, the one where there's no weeds. And when the seed planted and germinated, it brought forth much fruit. This morning, the field that Jesus is talking about is the church of Jesus Christ. The soil is our hearts. The seed is the incorruptible Word of God. And if you'll allow it to be deposited inside of your heart, it will germinate and bring forth much fruit. But the weeds are what I'm here to talk to you about this morning. And the weeds that Jesus taught about in Luke 8 are the distractions, the cares, and the worries of this life. The parable of the sower might sound like a cute and friendly tale. You might imagine sipping on Starbucks and telling it around the fireplace. But in all actuality, the parable of the sower was a clarion warning to the church of the redeemed. The parable of the sower was a warning to every man and woman that the Word of God will be sowed over your life, but some of you will never receive it because your hearts are too hard to take it in, or you get distracted by the cares and the worries and the fears of the present world, keeping you from being fruitful, keeping you from realizing your fullest potential, and keeping at bay the work of God from coming to fruition inside of your life. This morning, Luke 8 is a warning. It's a warning to every one of us that we must stay out of the weeds. We must stay out of the distractions, the things that will come to entangle and ensnare our life. The reality is that if we don't stay out of the weeds will choke the life out of us. Something interesting about a weed, number one, they're unpleasant. Nobody likes them. They're gross. Deer can get hit by golf balls in them. And one thing about the weeds is that they start small, and they begin almost as though they're insignificant. But it doesn't take long for a little weed, to grow into something that can entangle a living plant, that can ensnare it, that can begin to even choke the life out of it. Weeds ensnare the healthy plants that are around them, choking them of their potential, starving them of everything that they need to bear fruit. The distractions of this world are a very real reality that many of us have just come to grips with. Many of us make excuses for distractions that are actually choking the spiritual life right out of us. And many of us are not fruitful because our life is littered with things that are irrelevant and don't matter. We make a big deal about things that are really minors in the kingdom of God. We are distracted, and in our life, if we do not stay out of the weeds will surely choke the life out of us. Weeds are aggressive, opportunistic distractions that multiply quickly. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about the danger of the weeds. And I love how Jesus spoke to this agricultural society, and he illustrated this spiritual point so epically. Jesus was teaching about the weeds, and he said that they'll choke the life out of the tender blades, keeping them from being fruitful. But really, the most dangerous thing about the weeds isn't what happens above the surface. Above the surface is actually all you can see, and that's really seemingly insignificant. But the real threat that the weeds pose to fruit-bearing plants is what happens in the soil, what happens beneath the sight, the line of sight. Down inside of the soil, the weeds that multiply aggressively, the weeds there, they starve and deprive living plants of their nutrients. They starve and deprive living plants of the water that is essential for them to grow and be fruitful. Beneath the surface in the unseen realms is where the weeds pose the most danger to any living plant. They rob the soil of its nutrients. They rob it of its water supply. And then they grow up to even block out the sunlight, causing the living plant to die. And this morning, as you sit in this room today, your life may be littered, cluttered, and filled full of distractions, cares, worries, anxieties of this life. And on the surface, they appear little. They appear small and seemingly insignificant. But the real danger to our life, the real danger to our fruitfulness, isn't what we can see with our own eyes, but it's what's happening beneath the surface. These distractions, they eat away at your spiritual vitality. They eat away and they strip away your ability to grow and develop. They steal the nutrients of your spiritual walk and being. And just below the surface, in the unseen realms of your life, the distractions that you carry in your life, the distractions that we make excuses for in our everyday culture, they are eating away. They are robbing us of our joy. They are robbing us of our peace. They are robbing us of our rest. And they are robbing us of our fruitfulness. In today's society, we have become accustomed to a life full of busyness. We've become accustomed to a life full of things that are irrelevant and insignificant. But I'm telling you this morning, this is a clarion call from the Word of the Living God that we must get out of the weeds. We've got to get out of the distractions before they choke the life out of us. This morning, I want to focus in on just four. I want to talk to you really briefly this morning about four of the most dangerous distractions in your life. Four of the most dangerous weeds, if you will. The first one being worry. Being worried and anxious about a situation, about your circumstances. Nothing will rob you of your joy, and nothing will rob you of the peace of the Holy Spirit more than worrying and fretting over situations that you absolutely can do nothing about. One of the tactics of the enemy and one of the illustrations that Jesus was so eloquently laid out there is that these weeds that grow up to choke the life out, they are the weeds of worry. They are the weeds of doubt, the weeds of anxiety, where we're always meditating and mulling in our mind, worrying about what the future holds, worrying about what's going to happen with our child, worrying about what's going to happen with our finances. And we wrestle over and over again in this vicious cycle of being anxious and unsettled and uneasy about the circumstances of our life. But let me ask you a question, and I've asked this before here. When was the last time you worried about your problem so much that it fixed itself? It absolutely will be of no avail. You can worry all you want to, but it's not going to do a thing about the situation that you're facing. This morning, I need you to understand that the worries of this life, these weeds that grow up to choke the life out of you, they are sent on an assignment from hell to rob you of your joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you're walking around defeated, when you're walking around with anxiety and burdens shouldering over your life, shadowing over yourself, it's impossible to have the fruits of the Spirit alive inside of you. You can't have joy and worry at the same time. You got to choose. This morning, this is a call from the Holy Spirit of God to get out of the weeds. Stop worrying about the things that you can't control. Let it go. Because if you don't let the worry and the anxiousness go, it will choke the life out of you. These aren't my words. They're the words of Jesus. If you have your Bible, flip with me to John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. I want to show you something incredible. When God created man in his image and likeness, he told Adam, he said, I'm creating you to have dominion over all the earth. I'm creating you to rule the weeds, to rule over the earth. All of earth will be under your dominion, Adam. And I want you to look at this. Some of you might be saying today, well, I can't control my worry. I can't control the doubts and the fears that are in my life. I can't help it that my heart is anxious and troubled. I can't help it that I'm wrestling with this. Oh, yes, you can. John chapter 14, verse 1. These are written in red in my Bible, which means they came out of the mouth of Jesus. And he said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I just want to talk about that one verse right there. I don't know if you caught what he said in the very first part of that verse. He said, he looked at his disciples and his followers, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. Meaning that you have power, you have dominion over the thoughts that rage through your mind. You have dominion and you have authority over the things that wrestle inside of your heart. You have the ability to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Worrying is a choice, and this morning you can choose to walk out of the weeds. You can choose to uproot the weeds out of your life and say, today is the last day I'm going to worry about a situation that is completely outside of my control. And instead of walking by sight and what I can see in the natural, I will place my faith and my trust in you, who you go before me and prepare a way where there seems to be no other way. Christians, I'm trying to tell you right now, you have been given an opportunity to live a life that is liberated from the fears and the worry and the doubt that ensnares so many other people. There is a way for your freedom, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you ought to give him praise if you believe it. Thank you, Jesus, that he has given us dominion over the earth, over the weeds, and he's given us dominion over the thoughts even that are within our heart. He says, let not your heart be troubled. It's a decision today, and I'm going to lay my worries. I'm going to lay these weeds down at your feet, Jesus, because I'm walking out. I'm getting out of the weeds. Another distraction that is so prevalent in our world, and I know none of you will relate to this one, is the distraction of technology, the weed of technology. And just so y'all know, quit thinking about weed. I'm talking about the weeds that grow up out of the ground. Don't get distracted on that. The distraction of technology. You know, there's a very interesting point here. Do you know how many times the average American picks up their phone every day? Do you know how many times? 150 times a day. Does the average American pick up their smartphone, their iPhone, their Droid, whatever it is, and they start scrolling? That's every 6 minutes, you're picking up the phone. Every 6 minutes. I was talking to Jim Ferguson earlier this morning, and he was telling me on his way into church this morning, they were coming in, and they were stopped at a four-way stop, and he and Landon looked up around, and at every single stop on all the directions, they saw this sitting at the stoplight, just scrolling. You know, and people honking behind you like, eh, like, come on, it's green, and just scrolling. We're addicted to technology. We are absolutely addicted to technology. And though it seems harmless and insignificant, and while technology can be used for a lot of great things, technology can absolutely rob you of the present moment. Technology can absolutely rob you of what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in your life. We get so consumed and so fixated on who's liking our picture, who's sharing it on Instagram or whatever. We get so worked up on things that absolutely do not matter. They consume minutes, which turn into hours, which turn into days, which turn into weeks of our life. And you can spend your life any way you want to, but once you spend it, you cannot ever take it back. And as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And in it, I will rejoice and be glad. I'm not going to let the enemy rob me, distracting me with things that do not matter. I was created for this moment. And this moment belongs to my Creator. And I'm going to worship Him, bless His name, and live with an awareness of my God right now. We can't just take dominion over the worry of our heart and think it's all good. We've got to take back dominion over our lives. We've got to say, enough is enough. Facebook isn't going to rule me. Twitter isn't going to rule me. Instagram's not going to rule me. The phone can wait. It's not going to ruin my life. I'm not going to miss out on the present and who's right in front of me right now for the sake of what this digital feed is telling me in my face. You know, one of the saddest things that we could possibly see is a dinner table full of a family who don't even speak to one another because they're completely consumed in what's going on somewhere else in the world. I'm telling you, if you don't see this, let me shed some light on it. This is what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 8 when he said that there would be distractions of the world that will come up to rob you of your fruitfulness. There will be distractions of this life that will rise up and occupy your attention. There will be distractions that rise up in your life that you will idolize, that you will prioritize over me. And they will choke the life out of you spiritually. Look, I'm preaching to myself today. I'm preaching 100% right here. But I'm telling you this morning, we cannot make excuses for the ever-present reality of distractions in our life. We are called to live free, not dependent on other people's opinions and other people's words of affirmation on social media. Technology absolutely is a weed. It is a distraction. And you know, the funny thing is, and I'll catch myself doing this, I'll be on Facebook looking at stuff that's absolutely stupid. Watching a cat slap another cat in the head out of the cabinet. Has anybody seen that one? It's like the cat like is like lurking there and he slaps the other cat in the face. It's hilarious. It really is. But like, I snap out of it and I've been watching the cat hit the other cat for like 4 minutes. It's like, what in the world? I'm distracted by things that do not matter. We're filling our life with distractions that don't matter. We're making a big deal about things that are not important at all while we're neglecting the most important things in our life, and that's fellowship and relationship with God. I can't tell you how many Christians I talk to, and they say, well, Pastor, I didn't have a chance to read the Bible this week. Darn it, another week went by. Oh, but you definitely had time to be on the gram. You definitely had time to be on Facebook. You definitely had time to be scrolling. You were just in the wrong book, not the right one. And I know I'm stepping on your toes, but just welcome to Vision Church. Just welcome. Welcome right on in. We don't water it down for you. We do our best to just give it to you straight. Worry is a weed of distraction that will choke out your life. Technology, there's nothing evil about technology. It's how you use it. But if technology has you, that's different from you having technology. Just I'll set that one right there. Fill our lives with things that don't matter. The third thing that distracts us, this third weed of distraction, is the enemy reminds us of our past. And I just want to talk to you for a minute on this one right here. You see, if you haven't noticed by now, the weeds, the distractions, they serve a purpose for the enemy. And that is to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your peace, to rob you ultimately of your fruitfulness. And one thing that the enemy loves to do, and he does it from generation to generation, and he's still doing it now, is he reminds you of your past. He throws guilt and shame and accuses you constantly. He throws guilt and the shadow of shame over your life, so much so that you're preoccupied with who you used to be and what you used to do, so much to the point that you're afraid to live life in the fullest right now. The enemy will distract you, label you by the things that you used to do and the places that you used to go and the person that you used to be, to enslave you, to hold you captive from stepping into everything God has for you right now. And many of you, Christ has already forgiven you. For any man who will confess his sin to the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive you. But you can't forgive yourself. And the enemy keeps reminding you and taunting you and tormenting you over what you used to do and the things that you used to partake of. And I'm telling you this morning, we've got to let that distraction go. We've got to leave the past in the past and know that in Christ, all things are made new and the former things are passed away. What the enemy wants to do is haunt you with your past so much to the point that he robs you of your present. It's all about robbing you from the moment. It's all about stealing your joy right now. It's all about robbing you of your peace right here. And if the enemy can't get you to look back at your past, to drag you down in discouragement, to rob you of the present, what he will do is the fourth one, the fourth distraction, and that is he'll get you to look ahead, look into the future, think and get fixated on what's yet to come, so much so that you lose sight of what's happening in the present. The fourth distraction is that if the enemy can't get you to look at your past, he'll dangle something in front of your future. Have you ever met people who are never satisfied, who are always restless? They're always yearning for something more. People that maybe are very wealthy, but $1 million just isn't enough. And 1 million's gotta be 10 million. And 10 million's gotta be 100 million. Maybe they have a really nice car, but that car, after they've had it a while, it's just not enough, and so they're fixated on what's next. Or maybe they just got a new job and everything was great for about the first 60 days, and now all they can think about is climbing the ladder. All they can think about is what they're gonna do next and how they're gonna elevate themselves and how they're gonna move forward. And people become so entranced and so fixated on what's ahead that they neglect and sacrifice relationships in the present for something that is an unfulfilled promise of the future. I'm telling you, one of the most dangerous tactics and one of the most dangerous distractions the enemy will bring into your life is he will cause you to lose sight of the present and get you fixated on what's yet to come. And he, all the while, he's robbing you of your peace. All the while, he's robbing you of your joy. All the while, he's keeping you uncontent. He's keeping you wrestling in torment because you're always comparing where you are to where you want to be and you're never satisfied. There's always a disconnect there. But Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites you just the way you are. He doesn't ask you to do all these elaborate things for your future. I want you to understand something this morning. Our God is a God of the present, the right here and the right now. The Old Testament, when they asked for his name, he said, I am the I am. And we look at that and we're like, that's weird. But he's not the I will be. He's not the I used to be or the I was. He is the I am, meaning that I am in the present right now. You can't do anything about your past, and worrying about tomorrow won't get you anywhere. But what God wants from you right now is your focus today. He wants your attention today. He wants you to be present today. He wants you to not be robbed of what's coming or what was. He doesn't want you to be robbed of your joy and your peace. He wants you to be present in this moment. He wants you to be alive in this moment. He doesn't want you to be so caught up with what's ahead that you lose sight of the gift that God has given you today. And many of us, we neglect relationships with our wives. We neglect relationships with our husbands. We neglect relationships with the people who are right in front of us because we're constantly churning and yearning for something else. Our mind, our body is here, but our mind is somewhere else. We are distracted. We are missing opportunities in the present. We're missing life right now. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and in it, I will rejoice and be glad. This morning, I want to encourage you, don't be distracted by the cares of this life and the worries of it. Enjoy today. Envelop this moment. Give him praise today. Love the people who are right in front of you today. Bless their life today, and for this is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and in it we must rejoice and be glad. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody connect with what I'm saying? I'm preaching to myself today. I get so worried about Axiom. I get so worried about, are people going to come? Are these youth groups going to come? And I'm missing conversations that are happening right in front of my face. I'm thinking about what the church could be and where it could be in 3 years, 5 years from now. And I'm forgetting to revel and embrace this moment. Don't let the enemy rob you of the present because it's all you have. Don't be thinking about the house you're going to get. Be thankful for the one that you're in right now and most importantly, the people that fill it. God, forgive us for allowing the cares and the weeds of this life to choke out our focus. There's something dangerous about the weeds. If you've ever picked up a dandelion and you've ever blown it or held it up in the wind, it multiplies aggressively. Little kid picking it up, one little dandelion turns into 10,000. If you play with the weeds. You play with worry just a little bit. You give place to the devil. You entertain it just a little bit. It'll multiply in your life. It'll affect those around you. You play with doubt just a little bit. You play with it just a little bit. It'll multiply in your life. You dwell on your past and you start to throw a pity party for what you used to do and who you used to be. You dwell on that negativity and guess what'll happen? It'll multiply. You start thinking about what could be in the future and that weed will multiply. We can't play with the weeds and the distractions of this world. I want to show you something awesome. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, if you take a note, just write it down. I'm not going to turn there. Genesis chapter 3, 17 tells us this. Very interesting thing about the weeds. The weeds are a result of the curse of sin. There weren't any weeds until Genesis 3. There weren't any weeds until the curse. Adam was the caretaker of the Garden of Eden, but he did so freely. But because of sin, he was banished from the garden, and the Lord said to him, "The earth itself will now be cursed, and you will work from the sweat of your brow against the thorns and the thistles, the weeds that spring up from the earth. You will fight against the distractions of this world. They'll prick you. They might cause you to bleed. They might inflict pain into your life. But now, Adam, you're going to fight against the curse of the earth, and the weeds are the first result of the curse. The distractions of this life. And when we live in the weeds, when we dwell in the weeds, when our mind is surrounded by distractions, we're living in the curse, not in his freedom. I want you to think about this for a second. When was the last time you ever grew a weed in your backyard? You were like, you know what? Right next to that rose bush, it would look real great for one of these spiderly looking demon plants to grow up. Has anybody ever done that? You fertilize the little demon. Anybody? Like anybody taking pictures on Instagram? Happy Mother's Day. Here's a bunch of weeds, a weed bouquet, Mom. I worked real hard on it. No. Because weeds, you don't have to do anything for them to grow. Weeds are a result of neglect. I'm about to preach right now. I know you're ready to go to lunch, but just hang on. I have a backyard. It's about the size of a postage stamp. It's a townhouse. I put tile, these pavers down there, all this, a little fire pit. I put everything I could think of in the little postage stamp to keep the weeds out. Because I don't, look, y'all, I'm not about all that. I don't have time for that. All right. I grew up in West Virginia mowing 5 yards with a push lawnmower, and we parked the riding one in the garage because my dad thought he'd make a man out of me. All right. I was like, forget this. When I'm moving to Charlotte, no more lawns. But if you've been to my house lately and you look out in the back, there's some weeds about as tall as my waist, and I'm pretty tall, y'all. How'd they get there? From neglect. We live in a cursed earth, and weeds just multiply aggressively. They're opportunistic. They'll come up anywhere they're allowed. But, you know, here's the thing. Weeds are always a result of neglect. And if we neglect our relationship with the Father, the weeds will surely grow in our life. John 15 tells us that God Almighty is the gardener. He's the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. When we neglect time with the gardener, when we neglect time in his presence, the weeds, the distractions, they'll grow and they'll flourish, and they will rob you of your nutrients. They'll rob you of your development, and they will rob you of your fruitfulness. That's what it's all about. Galatians 5:22 tells us this. It tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, as the band comes back to help me close. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. Now, I just got to talk to you real fast. The word teaches us that we will know a person not by what they say. We won't know a person by how many times they come to church. The Bible says that you'll be known by your fruit. You say, well, I thought it said we'll be known by our love. Guess what? Love is one of the fruits, y'all. All right? Don't get ahead of me. You'll be known by your love. Love's a fruit. It's the first one. You'll be known by your fruit, not what you say, how you say it. Not where you go, but how you go there. The fruits of the Spirit are what the distractions have come to rob you of. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what identifies you as a child of the living God. John 15 says that any branch that does not abide in me, any one of us that does not abide in him, we will be fruitless and barren, and we will be severed off and cast into the fire. There's only one way to be fruitful, and that's to be connected to the Lord, connected to our Father. The distractions of the world, they're here to rob you of your fruitfulness. And can I just drop this on you real fast? A tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. You ever seen an apple tree surviving off its apples? A tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. A tree bears fruit so that others can be nourished, so that others can find life, so that others can find hope and an oasis. We are called to be connected to the Father so that His character, His attributes, His Spirit can flow into our life, not so that we can say, hey, look at me, I'm full of His Spirit, but so that the lost and the hopeless and the malnourished and the spiritually dead can see hope in a hopeless place, that they can feed off of your joy, that they can experience your peace, that they can experience your rest and the presence of the living God at work within you. Your fruit is how you treat other people. You might say you're a Christian. You might know the way to salvation. You might know a whole lot about this book. But friends, if you know Him, if you're connected to Him, kindness will flow from your life. Love will flow from your life. Joy will flow from your life. Peace will flow from your life. Kindness, faithfulness, self-control, it will flow from your life. And the thing about an apple tree is it doesn't have to force its fruit. All it has to do is be connected to the source. And today, you don't have to manufacture your faith. You just need to be connected to the source, connected to Jesus in fellowship with Him, not distracted by the cares of the world, but being connected to Him will bear much fruit in your life, and you will bear the Spirit and the evidence of our salvation, for the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive at work within you. If you'd stand to your feet today, Lord, we worship You. We love You in this place. We ask You, Jesus, that we would be mighty trees planted by the streams of living water. Jesus, that we would be connected to Your Spirit, that we would not neglect relationship with You. We wouldn't exchange relationship with You for the distractions, the empty distractions of this life. But Lord Jesus, I pray that we would bear much fruit in Your name and in Your Spirit. And Lord, that we would have peace and joy and satisfaction in this life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.